Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form what Paul calls one new man, one new humanity, just breaking down that middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. Because when the two come together, I mean, the devil's worst nightmare is going to occur, because in the second chapter of Ephesians, it says it will form the full presence of God in the Spirit, His full presence. Then we're going to see what Jesus said, you'll do the same works I have done, and even greater. Now, my guest is so passionate for the love of God. His name is Bill Weiss. And Bill had an encounter. He didn't ask for it. He didn't look for it. He was so traumatized, he didn't speak about it for a year, in which he was literally taken as a believer, which he was, to hell, to experience hell. Except when he went there, the memory he was a believer was taken away, and he experienced hell just as everyone that's a non-believer will experience hell. And he did this because Jesus wanted him to tell people of its reality. And I have him on the telephone. And I believe that there is so little teaching and preaching about hell, it's sort of like we go to extremes, and it's not politically correct to talk about hell and fire and burning and suffering and torment and eternal pain. That's just not a politically correct thing to do. And this is why Bill has put together an entire course called Whatever Happened to Hell, in which it's three books. One book's a hardback, one DVD, in which the tough and difficult questions are answered. And Bill, why? I see why a non-believer should see this material. And when they hear what you have to say, you literally scare the hell out of them. Praise God. But why would a believer want to spend any time at all understanding the reality of hell?
So there's three reasons, really. Number one, when a Christian understands how severe hell is, he'll be much more appreciative of his own salvation, from what he was saved from. And because a lot of Christians today don't believe in a literal burning hell.
I believe a lot of Christians kind of almost take their salvation for granted. And I'm going out to the restaurant, I'll have a little apple pie today, and well, I have my apple pie, I'm fine. They don't understand what a marvelous salvation we have.
Exactly. And I think it gives you that appreciation, and you realize what Jesus went through in the suffering to keep us out of this horrific place. And so it'll give you that appreciation. Number two, it'll cause you to walk more in the fear of the Lord. And many Christians today are living compromised lifestyles and living in sin and thinking, well, I said a prayer years ago, I'm fine, I'm in the born-again club. But that's not how it works.
And their pastor is not saying anything to cause them to think that there's something wrong with their lifestyle, unfortunately, because all the other Christians they know are doing the same thing. So someone, somewhere, has got to warn them.
That's right. The sin word is not being discussed. It's maybe mentioned, oh, you might have an issue, but not sin. Don't mention it or label it as sin.
Or the other extreme that's going on is what I call the hyper-grace message. Well, grace is real. And grace is wonderful, and grace is described in the Bible, but there's no room for compromise just because God gives us grace.
You know, Sid, grace is not just a cover-up for sin or an excuse. Grace is actually an empowerment not to sin. You know, God's called us to walk holy lives.
Yeah, but speaking about sin, I have an idea that most Christians don't even know what sin is.
Right. They don't really.
Well, what would you describe as compromise among Christians?
Well, Christians, many times they live with their boyfriend or girlfriend. They cheat on their taxes. They take money under the table. Maybe they...
Listen, I went to a church recently that had a gay couple there, which I thought was wonderful. But the preacher from the pulpit doesn't say that's sin. It's wonderful that they're there so they can get convicted of sin and repent.
Right.
But but if you don't mention about sin, it isn't wonderful.
Right. Well, they use it. It's a politically incorrect today to speak out against that. But yet the Bible does. And it's very clear, and I think that's where a lot of the church has gotten foggy and walking in sin and living backslidden, compromised, not walking in holiness, not guarding.
What are some other areas of sin?
They don't guard their thoughts. They watch movies that you shouldn't watch.
You know what I believe? Some of these movies literally open up a Christian or a non-Christian to what the Bible calls a familiar spirit or a demon. And if you entertain them long enough, they become your friends. Who wants those as friends?
Right. And Jesus said to guard your ears and guard your eyes. And so many Christians are living just like the world. They're seeing the same movies. They're listening to the same music. They're dressing just like the world does, compromised and so forth. So I believe those are some of the areas that the Lord's talking about. They're living in unforgiveness. Maybe they hold something against someone they don't forgive. And Jesus said, when you pray standing, forgive.
How about the acceptable Christian sin? Gossip.
Right, that's a big one. That's a good point. Talking like that all the time, where God tells us again to guard our mouths.
You know what I found myself slipping in, and so I'm going to confess right now, is I watch a lot on politics, and I find myself talking so negatively about the administration and about things that they have done. And you know, it's a fine line, but my Bible says to only say things that are good and pure and lovely and of good report. I don't want to spend my time being a negative person.
Right, and it's good to keep up on the world events, but I know if you watch too much politics, it causes you to speak negative and be a little more on the depressed side because of all the evil that's going on and corruption in the world.
Now, you've read some statistics recently. Do most Christians really believe in a literal hell with a burning fire and torment forever and ever and ever, real torment?
We have found out that they don't. And also there's a Fox News report called Young People Less Tied to Organized Religion. And it's February 17th of this year, 10. And it says that only 32% of Christians believe in a place of torment. And 66% of Christians believe many roads lead to eternal life.
How could they even call themselves a Christian?
I know. That's how far Christianity has slipped.
And you know, we have this series of books called Left Behind. And more important than this series of books is the whole premise. And so everyone is saying, I'm going to get raptured out of here before things get bad. Well, what's the guarantee they're going to be raptured? Just because they said a little prayer with Billy? Just because they go to church and they hear a politically correct presentation of the gospel? I think the issue is not when we're raptured. The issue is if we're raptured.
That's right. You know, and, you know, all through the scriptures, Jesus said, we know him if we keep his commandments. He that doeth the will of God abides forever. My mother and brethren are those that hear the word of God and obey it, and so forth. So God has called us to walk a walk of holiness and avoid sin. And I think that's slipped out of a lot of the church today, and they're living in the compromised lifestyle.
When you share the encounter, and you will this week briefly, that you had in hell, what effect does it have on your audiences, in, say, a church, not necessarily secular? And you've done over 200 secular talk shows on this subject, in addition to, say, secular TV like Fox News. What effect does it have on people?
You know, Sid, we have seen thousands of people come to the Lord at the churches we've been to. And also Christians, they've come up to us afterwards, lined up, and talked to us, and inspired them to have a new zeal for God and a heart for souls. We get letters and emails from all over the world.
It seems as though Christians that I talk to are almost stone-hearted when it comes to their unsaved neighbors and friends. They're more interested in getting along than in their friend going to heaven. When they understand hell, I mean really understand hell, and the tough questions, most Christians can't even answer the tough questions, but after reading your books on this course called Whatever Happened to Hell, and it explains the afterlife, I think that it is going to revolutionize their walk with the Lord.
Yes, I does give the person, a Christian, a passion for the lost and a hunger to see their neighbor. We had a 12-year-old said come up to us. He was weeping, and he was with his father, and he said, "Dad," and his dad said, "Why are you weeping?" He says, "Because I know my neighbor's going to hell. We've got to do something about it. We've got to open up our mouths." This is a 12-year-old, and we see this all over the place. So it's waking up the Christians, giving them a passion for the lost, and that's what God's called us to do as Christians, is to witness. And he actually holds us accountable if we don't. And Ezekiel 33:8 says, if we fail to speak to warn the sinner from his way, his blood will I require at your hand.
Listen, everyone listening to my voice right now, you need this course. The course is titled, Whatever Happened to Hell? It's three books. One is a hardback, one DVD. It has his 23-minute visit to hell. This entire course is available for a gift of $30. Call or write today for the course, Whatever Happened to Hell? To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.